Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Dalet, and we're holding still on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're right in the middle of the discussion of where precisely an individual is supposed to say Anenu, even though he's involved in the Ta'anit Sibur. And what we wanted to say yesterday was from the fact that we made this distinction between 19 brachas and 18 brachas, which according to Rashi is really the difference between 19 brachas and 20 brachas, but we refer to it that way. But as I mentioned to you, according to Yerushalmi and the Tosfos Reed, it really means exactly that, between 18 and 19. But in any event, so we thought that that means by definition it cannot be referring to a Shliach Tzibur, because a Shliach Tzibur will be saying 24 brachas on the Tainis, as we're going to be learning later, that we have these extra six brachas that we add, and therefore it's got to be referring to the Yochid, and it depends whether he is talking about a Yochid as an individual, in which case he would say Anenu B'Shomei HaTfila, or whether he's a Yochid who, he's not a Shliach Tzibur, but he's basically praying on a Tainis Tzibur, and then he would be given a bracha b'fnei atzmo, and he would say Anenu as a separate bracha ben goel l'rofe. But the Gemara said, no, you cannot say that, because maybe we're referring to the first three, the set of three taniot of the Tzibur, where over there we do not have 24 brachot. That was the last thing that we said. So we were on the first of the big lines. Asks the Gemara, velo, there's not 24 brachot in the first three? Doesn't it say ein bein ella? There's no difference but, and that but did not include these 24. Hab ein bein katani, ein bein shalosh vishonot v'shalosh emtzaiyot, ella shebe elu mutarim ba'asiyat melacha, ube'elu asurim ba'asiyat melacha. So apparently the only difference between the short set of three at the beginning and the subsequent sets are that Malacha is not a problem, but what about the 24 brachas? Apparently the 24 brachas are the same, right? Nah, says the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe Tana Vishier, maybe it just left out certain things. It only was talking about this. Well, I mean, if it's the only other thing, we wouldn't have left it out, would we? I mean, it's ridiculous to say things that are the same and things that are different and leave out one. My Shir, Dai Shir. Not to mention the fact, doesn't it say there is no difference but va'ein bein? Doesn't it say ela katani? Right? The answer is the Gemara, okay. And the point is, alatana bisure kamayre bitfilas lo kamar. That doesn't prove anything because he's not focusing on the difference in the tfilos. He's focusing on the difference in the dinim of the isurim of the ta'anit. So that doesn't prove a darn thing. Or I can tell you, you know what? Maybe your mistake is that the difference is not between the first three and the middle three. It's the difference between the middle three and the last three, because the middle three also don't have 24 brachas, so it would still be true. Ein bein. And there's no difference between the first three that are only the daytime fasts and the middle three, except because neither of them have 24, except for the Yisra Malacha. So what would be wrong with that? See, by Sema, maybe Bam Sayyatanami Lumetzichov Dalit. Maybe you don't have 24 brachas in the middle. You don't? But doesn't it say Ein Bein Shalosh Niyot L'Shev Achronot? There's no difference between the middle set of three. Remember, we have three Yechidim. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the first set of three, which are the three Taniyot of only in the daytime Taniyot for the Tzibor. The next group of three, where we begin with the greater chumra of fasting even from the night, and then we have the last group of seven. And the last group of seven, that's where we say the 24. Maybe that's the answer, in which case, obviously we're not going to say their difference is 24, because it isn't. The difference between the first three and the second three is not the 24 tefillot. But is that true? Doesn't it say there's no difference between the second three and the last seven? Other than the fact that we blow the shofar, or that we do the Truah B'Pez, we'll see, and we close down the stores. But that means in any other thing, they're the same. And the any other thing ought to include the 24, right? So apparently we do say the 24 in the Emtzayot. So then you can't say this Iboy Seima, that there's no difference between the first three and the second three, because the 24 is said in neither. Here it's clear that the 24 are said in the second three. Nah, Maybe you could say Tana V'Shir. Well, I knew you were going to say that. V'chitema ha'chanami Tana V'Shir. It says, Ein bein katani. There is no difference but. Come on, you know by now. V'tizbra, come off it, man. Ein bein dafka. I mean, what do you think that when it says Ein bein over here, it means literally there's no difference? I mean, one thing for sure is different. Nobody in his right mind is going to say this is not a difference. The halakha that we're going to see later on, that you take out the Aron Kodesh and you take it outdoors into Rechava, that for sure is said only about this, okay? And in the last seven. And why didn't it mention it? So obviously, Ein Bein is not meant 100% as a true nothing but. No, the Teva is a whole different issue. We're not discussing things that have to do with a massive change in the public way in which we're handling things. Bringing out the Aron HaKodesh to the middle of the city and people gathering in the street. I mean, come on. I didn't have to talk to you about that. Those are things that are b'far hesya. So we're talking about things that are done inside of the Beit HaKnesset. Not everybody, every goy in town knows about it. So mili b'far hesya lo katani. We're talking about mili b'tzina, the things that are done in the actual Beit HaKnesset. So you're talking about blowing the shofar, davening 24, whatever. Those things are done in the shul. Omer Rav Ashi, Masnisi Nami Deka. Look, I mean, the truth is, we could see all of this directly from the Mishnah. We don't have to actually look at more than that, because it says Beferish that right over here, here's the Lashon. Diktani Ma Elo Yiteirot. What are these more than the Rishonot? What is the difference? That, I mean, isn't it exactly the same? We're just doing the seven. No, it says, in what way are they greater? We said these are the biggest chumras of these last ones. In what way are these last ones so chumur? Ela shebe'elu matri'in v'no'alim et hachanuyot. Abu b'chol divrayim ze v'ze shavim. It says in our Mishnah that everything else is exactly the same, including 24 tefillahs, right? What do you do about that? Now, I know what you're going to try. You're going to try to tell me the same thing. It says, Ma Elu. In what way? Only in this way. Ella. Isn't that what it says? In what way are they different? Ella. This is the way that they're different. So that means you can't say there was something that we didn't bother listing. No. No. Because Ma Elu also doesn't mean absolutely this is the only way. I mean, are we not admittedly leaving out the din of taking out the Aron Kodesh into the street? Well, maybe that's not a difference, because it could be that I list it. I just don't list it in this Mishnah. But I mean, the next parak, I'm going to be listing it. I'm going to explain it right away. So the Tana figures, okay, this is sort of the introduction to the next parak. And then we're going to learn all about the din of the teva. So, imishum teva lav shiuruhu. Bishum dechachashu la biyidach pirka. It's going to be appearing in tomorrow's Mishnah right away when we start the next parak. So, I mean, Tana doesn't have to tell you things that he's about to discuss and he's merely introducing over here. That's fair. In which case, you can't be medayik from the Mishnah. Oh, now, wait a minute. I mean, if that's the case, so then this whole discussion is moot. Because, I mean, once you're ready to say that, that the Tana is relying on the new things that are going to be introduced in the next parak, so then that's true of the 24 tefillahs. We haven't really spoken about the 24 tefillahs yet, have we? So why would you expect the Tana to be talking about there's no difference other when we haven't even learned it? He's not going to add that to there's no difference other. He's relying on the fact that we're about to introduce those sugyas. As you said about the Tevas, you could say that about the 24 also. So this whole discussion was a waste of time. So the Esrim V'arba Nami Lav Shiurahu. Diktani La Be'idav Pirkin. So therefore, we do not have any kind of proof anymore. All of these things that you've been discussing now are irrelevant to our question. I still want to know, where do we say Anenu if you are a yachid, okay? You haven't brought me a raya. So my havel, what's the bottom line? Omer of Shmuel bar Sasratai, v'chein Omer of Chia bar Ashi, Omer Rav, he says it, even though he's a yachid, he says it as a separate bracha between the bracha of Goel Yisrael and the bracha of Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. Whereas Rav Ashi says, that Rabbi Yanai Bereda Rabbi Shmuel said, we say it as a yochid always in Shomea Tefillah. Ve'hilchata, and that's how we paskin, b'shomea tefillah, even if it is a tainis tzibur, and you're davening as the yochid in shul with everybody else. If you're not the shliach tzibur, then you do not make it a separate bracha. And that's how we paskin. Now, what about the halacha regarding pregnant women and nursing women? Remember that that is the big difference between Tisha B'Av and other Taniyot. We start Ma Ben Tisha B'Av L'Shara Taniyot. We've been talking about the many details in which the subtleties of the differences of the focus in the Taniyot create differences that are clear lahalacha in how we actually act on the Tanyas. We spoke about the difference between the Isra Malacha on the Tanyas for Geshamim versus the lack of an Isra Malacha on Tisha B'Av, because the focus of it was not to be Matriya and to change things, but was rather for the focus on the continuum of our situation and stuff like that. So what about the idea of Ubarot Umenikot? So now we're going to move on to that question. So one braita says, Ubarot menikot mita'anot berishonot. So the first taniyot they fast for, but they don't fast, perhaps counterintuitively, they don't fast on the more chomer ones. But why would that be? I mean, that makes sense. Because if we're talking about the last ones, meaning the last seven, obviously we're going to be much more reluctant to have a 7 day sheni chamishi, sheni chamishi, sheni, and so on, for pregnant women to have to put themselves through, that's too much. So it could be that we're saying, okay, look, to participate in three fasts, that's one thing. But to have to go through seven fasts, that we're not mechayev them in. So that's what one brisa says. Now the other brisa says, no, it's the other way around. Actually, they fast only on the last ones, but they don't fast on the first ones. So that's like the complete opposite. In other words, the more chomer it is, the more they're likely to fast. And then there's another brisa that says they don't fast at all. Not on the Rishonot and not on the Achronot. We don't know of any machlokas about this issue. So is there a way to actually have this all work out? Says Rav Ashi, well, of course. You haven't explained which one is the first, which one is the last. And therefore, there's an obvious solution. If what you do is you assume that we're using the midpoint, which is the middle three, as a reference, okay, so then everything is answered. Because now what you can say, that when you have to fast, it says on the first one now is the middle one, but not on the last one, those are the last seven, because there's too many of them, so we don't want to be mechai of them. The other one that says, no, they only have to fast on the last one, but they don't have to fast on the first one, is referring to the same exact halacha. Because the second group, that we're talking about over here, they are last in the sense that they come after the first, which are the ones that are kal, but there's still only three. So you have to fast on them, but you don't fast on the last, because after all, those real last ones, or the seven, those ones, I agree. Of course, you don't fast. There's too many of them. So that's not a problem. And then the third price that says they don't fast at all, that's talking about that you don't fast on either the first or the third, because the first are too kal and the third are too many. So that's what we're saying. The first and the last, neither of them would you fast on. So as Rashi says, look, you know, very often you'll find that the Tana of a Braisa has fun with words, okay? So he wants to put things in a way that are challenging, and then you have to work it out. So he's pointing out that this is a relative term, first and last, because you never really define them in those ways. All right. So now let's get back to serious issues over here. B'may matri'in. Now this word of matri'in is a little bit strange, because matri'in is a reflexive word, right? I mean, if we were talking about trua on a shofar, we say meri'in, meri'in trua. If you're not matri'in, it sounds very much like mitpalalim. So that's a reflexive kind of thing that you're doing internally. In which case, matri'in may be the application of the concept of shouting out, which is the meaning of the drua, which is similar to a cry. But it really means a cry, and we model it on a cry. We model it on the sounds of a cry. We were talking about the Yavava and so on, which was the Targum that we had before about the mother of Sisera. So the question is, does matri'in mean something different than meri'in? Or is it sort of like how it is that we act out the drua, meaning with the shofar, or if you don't mean with the shofar, we spoke about this issue, that the shofar really means a chatzotzra, and that it includes the shofar. But remember, the Gemara in Shabbos said that the word shofar was flipped after the Churban, and now it's come to mean we use the word shofar for chatzotzra, and we use the word chatzotzra for shofar. Okay, so that part is already, we spoke about that. That's that big machlokas in which nowadays we actually do with a shofar. In those, except for the Ashkenazim, nobody knows precisely why the Ashkenazim stopped using anything for tekiah. And there were various explanations of why we don't use the Chatzotzra, which the Rambam Paskin specifically, which was the Pashas of the Gemara before. So it was because it was expensive during the time of Europe to actually get a silver Chatzotzra. So they flipped to the shofar, and the Gaonim were matter that, and why they don't do it in Ashkenaz, all kinds of different explanations, since maybe, like the Ramban says, there's no longer a din of Tainis Tzibur in the Gola, so since there's no din of Tainis Tzibur in the Gola, there's even no Tainis Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael, because there's no longer the Nasi, like we spoke about yesterday, there's no longer a Bezdin, and the din of the Chatzotzra is only in Tainis Tzibur, and so on and so forth. Lemaisa, almost all the other minhagim that we're aware of, all of the other Eidot, except for the Ashkenazim, they do blow a shofar. But in any event, so what did the Mishnah mean when it said the word matri'in? So, but my matri'in, Rav Yehuda Omer shofarot, and it means tru'ah, in which case if it's a tru'ah, so then you have to have a tekiah before and a tekiah after. That we learned out from the pasuk. And if that's the case, it means for each of the six extra brochas, there were three kolot, tekiah, tru'ah, tekiah. Whereas Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, Shmuel Bar Rav Amar, it means crying out bepeh. And bepeh, bepashtas means anenu. Now Rashi explains, anenu does not mean the tefillas anenu that we were talking about until now, anenu b'tzom ta'anitenu, that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to the whole long anenu that comes at the end of the slichos. Anenu Hashem, anenu, anenu, Abraham, anenu, Yitzchak, anenu, and so on and so forth. That's what it's referring to. So that's true according to the most of the Rishonim. There are some that suggest that it actually does refer to anenu, but that's not the normal, that's not the normative opinion. Anyway, so now we thought that the machlokas between the Rav Yehuda Bar the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishbei de Rav and Rav Yehuda were mutually exclusive. So in other words, we thought that the idea was that according to Rav, that we say anenu, and that's what matri'in means, that he held that you do not use a shofar. And we don't do the shofar. As the man Yom Rav Yehuda, who said we do use a shofar, he meant we use a shofar. And that matri'in was not a broader term that included both a shofar and the tefillas anenu. But that doesn't seem to be true because of the braita. The braita says, Ein pochati mishevet taniyot al tzibur, shebehem, yudchet hatra'ot, v'simla dover yiricho. And yiricho was obviously shofarot. Now, the braita says beferish, that when we do these last series, it's seven taniyot. That's the way it's constructed as a series. And we have what's special about them includes the fact that we have these 18 truas. You know, how do we have 18 truas? One of the six extra brachas. So obviously it means for each bracha we have tkiah, trua, tkiah, which adds up to 18. And that's why we give the similar dover. Just in case you guys are getting confused about the word matri'in, remember Yericho. And when it said over there, what did they do with Yericho? Every time they went around, they blow the shofarot. So that's the same thing over here. Every time there's a new bracha, they blow the shofarot. So you can't possibly say that it means anenu and not shofarot. True. So of course, everybody agrees for sure that you definitely blow shofars. And that is certainly included in the concept of matri'in. The question is, ki plige, does the word matri'in expand on the idea of the normal true on the shofar, which would have called meri'in, and therefore it adds that you're supposed to be shouting out also aloud, but kol tza'aka to Hashem, anenu. By the way, there's a machlokas about whether that means that everybody has to be shouting, or whether it means that there's members of the tzibur that are like a choir, they're the ones that are able to sing out the Koran, anenu. So Rav holds that anenu is part of hatra'ah, and that's the addition of the reflexive over here of matri'in. Mar Sofer Mashenkin Rav Yudah holds that that's not called matri'in, that's tefillah. And therefore it means we only use the shofar, and we do not have this whole thing about shouting out anenu. And according to Rav, who said anenu, so then certainly kol shekein b'shofarot. So then for sure, I mean, the idea over there is for sure that we're going to, it's a question whether this is there, but all right. There's no rational. It's a kol shekein b'shofarot. L'mandi omer b'shofarot av anenu lo. It doesn't be adding anything, and it's not clear that it's the correct girsa. Anyway, ask the Gemara, do we actually call tfila a trua? Matrin, v'yotanya, v'shar kol minei proniyot mitrakshot. So if you have any other types of things that are happening and that are very painful things for the tzibur. So let's say you have a plague of chichuch. People are breaking out in these boils and they're very uncomfortable. So they're scratching all day long, or there's locusts. Or even if there's an outbreak of flies, and they're getting into everything, and they're crawling up your nose, and and yetushin, even if it's just mosquitoes, and Nile fever, and whatever, or there's shiluach, nechashim, v'akrabim, there's these scorpions that are being sent into town. It was just this horrible story, I'm sure you saw, in which, because of the incredible rains, all of the scorpions like invaded a town. This happened last week in Mahashvar Gemara, and people were dying by the droves. I think it was in Saudi Arabia, if I'm not mistaken. But because they were all washed out of their normal places, so they went and invaded the houses to dry off. These were like murderous akrabim. Anyway, so over there it says, look at the lasha, lo hayu matri'in elot tzoakim. Now, what does that mean? It means they didn't blow the shofar, but instead they were tzorek bepeh. So, I mean, obviously, the word matri'in is bedavka with the shofar, and when you want to talk about tefillah, you don't use that word. You talk about tza'aka. Tza'aka is tefillah. So, how could we have thought that the idea is, if tza'aka is bepeh, then hatra'ah is only with the shofarot? So Rav seems to be wrong based on the Braisa, where he claims that the word matri'in is there to add to the shofarot, to add anenu. Says the Gemara, you're right. This is keneged Rav, 100%. However, it is a machlokas tanoim. Tanoim, the Tanya, I'm going to show you in the Mishnah later on, that in fact we do use this lashon, because it says al elu matri'in b'shabbat. So even on Shabbos we will be matriya for certain types of tzoras that are desperate, and this is, for instance, a city that has been surrounded by troops that are trying to break into town. That's even on Shabbos. Or you have a river that is starting to flood and it's going to flood out the whole town. You have to be matriya on Shabbos. Or if there is a boat that's out there and it's caught in a storm and you see it being tossed by the waves and there's nothing to do, you're matriya even on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, whereas Rabbi Yossi says, and wait a minute, you can shout out for help, but you can't shout out in tefillah. Because, I mean, you can't really be sure that you're on a madrega, that your tefillahs are going to be taken seriously. But your calls for help could be taken seriously. So that you can do, but you can't do a trua on Shabbos where you don't know. So what do you think it means over here? Do you think it means b'shofarot? I mean, definitely we don't blow shofarot on Shabbos. I mean, we could daven, why would we be blowing shofarot? So we're clearly talking about anenu, right? And what is it called? Matri'in. So there you see that here we have a Tana that says exactly like Rav Shema Amina, that type of tza'aka is called a trua as well. Now, during the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, of course, his grandson, he's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Havitzara, there was once one of these other kind of things, doesn't define exactly what it was, but it wasn't about the rain. There was some other one of these issues. See, he was Gozer, 13 separate Ta'aniyot, similar to the dinim of the Ta'aniyot on the Gishami, and he wasn't answered. So he thought, okay, I'm going to make more Ta'aniyot. If it didn't help to do this, we'll keep being Misaneh. So Rabbi Ami said to him, but the Chachamim say you're not supposed to add. Ein matrichen et hatzibur yoter midai. You don't go overboard on this. I mean, we've already done 13. We're not going to have the whole community sit here and fast more than that. Amar Baba Bereder, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I got news for you. Shh, don't tell anybody. But Rabbi Ami just didn't want to fast anymore. He was sick and tired of it. So he basically made this up because it isn't true. No, Rabbi Ami, he said that the Avad, Legarmehu the Avad, he just did it for himself because he wanted to cut all of these fasts out. And it was not true what he was saying. Because really, what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan said, that when do we say that we're not gozer more than these number of taniyot? That's only benogea the gishamim. But that's because the gishamim, we're not going to be gozer gishamim to rain at a time when it's already over the rain period. So what's the point of being misana more now? That's only the gishamim. But if something else is going on and there's flooding or there's attacks by goyim or whatever, why would we be limited to 13? Mitanim v'ochin achianu min hashamayim. We keep doing teshuva, we keep being mispalo until HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers us. And that's a braisa. Tanya nami achi. Kishamru shalosh, kishamru sheva. All of this business is for the gishamim. Aval ashar minei puraniyot, mitanim v'ochim achianu. Oh. So then this appears to completely show up Rabbi Ami, who claimed that he was just making this, was an overall gezeira, and apparently he really just didn't want to fast, and he did completely misunderstood the halacha. No, says Gemara, Amalacha Rabbi Ami, I know what I'm talking about, man. It happens to be a machlokas tanoim about why it is that we don't add to the 13, okay? And don't come down on me. There, it's true. There is one Mandi Amar who says that it's a function of the period of the year, which is not appropriate for Gesha. Then I would be wrong, but there's another Tana who says exactly what I said, and it ain't just anybody either. And I'm going to Rebbe, that the issue over here was not to be Matriach the Tzibur, because take a look at this Braita, the Tanya. Ein gozrin yoter mishalosh esrei Taniyot ala Tzibur. Here's my words. Lefisha ein matrichin ala tzibur yoter midai. Ha ha ha. Divrei Rebbe. Okay? So what I said is completely backed up by Rebbe. So don't give me this. I just did it for myself. It's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel who says, no, that's not why we don't have more than 18. We don't mind putting people through hell. The reason that we don't have more than 13 is only benogea de gishamim. It's already after the time, and apparently, I mean, that's the main time of the initial rains that give the initial growth spurt. And if it's after that time, it doesn't make sense now to be gozer. So the additional value of that, we're not going to be gozer on the tzibur. Let yechidim pass for that. Okay. So if that's the case, it's a big machlokas. If it's only gishamim, you'd be right in saying that I had no right to tell him not to be gozer more, but I'm going on Liba Rebbe. And the reason not to be gozer more is for any purpose, because it's not correct to put the tzibur through too much. Now, there was a maisa, and we mentioned the whole story of the rush. If you remember, I told you the story that there had been no rain in Europe the whole year, and that he gathered everybody together, and he said, finally, I'm going to get done my psak, that in places where you need to have rain after Pesach, you definitely continue to say, Levitain Talamatar. In the end, they weren't makabel the rush. It became a big public scandal. I told you he wrote a little booklet about it, explaining his shita, and he's still stuck with his das. We don't paskin like the rush. By the way, even though it seems so reasonable, we'll discuss why that might be true in a moment. But anyway, this was a story of Sholchu Leibnei Ninveh LeRebbe. So the people that lived in the town of Ninveh asked Rebbe Yishayla, people like us in this area, we need year all around, a rain all around. So afil betkufas tamuz beinan mitra. So for us, it's very important. This is a place where if we don't have the water, it destroys the fertility, and this is an extremely fertile area, and we're growing all kinds of things. What should we do in order to be mispalel for rain? Hechinave. Should we treat ourselves like individuals, even though we're a whole town, or should we treat ourselves as the rabbim? Meaning, are we just like individuals because we're only one town and therefore we would say it in Shomea Tefillah? Or are we like the Rabbi and therefore we say it in the Birkat Hashanim? And Rebbe answered them, you should be like individuals, even though you have a right to be Mispalel, but you should be Mispalel not in the Birkat Hashanim, you should be Mispalel only in Shomea Tefillah as your other personal Tzrachim. Really? Asked the Gemara, indeed? Doesn't it say, Amar Rav Yehuda Eimatai? When do we say that we start fasting only by the Rabbim, only when comes Rosh Chodesh Kislev? That's in normal years. Bizman Shashanim Ketikuna. It's a normal year. We did the normal harvesting in Nisan and so on. We did the normal planting in Cheshvan. And we have a normal Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael Shruyin Al Admatam. But now, Bizman Hazeh, where people are scattered all over the place, and we have global warming, and everything's going crazy, Hakol Lefi Hashanim, everything goes according to the changes in the climate and affects the weather in that year. Hakol Lefi HaMikomot, it depends where you are. And Hakol Lefi HaZman, it goes according to the time of the year, how much rain has fallen so far, etc., etc., which implies that in the same way that we would have the Taniyot Tzibur, that would be going, this is how Rashi learns, other Rishonim learn, that it's talking about not the, the din of the tainiot, and we're using the tainiot as a riot to the tefillos. It's talking about the tefillos. That's what it's talking about directly. So then it goes according to the time in which we would say it, l'chorim birchas hashanim. So therefore, Rebbe is wrong. Rebbe says, put it into Shomea Tefillah. Omar, like, yeah, I got like news for you. Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. Now, are you asking Akasha from a Brisa on Rebbe? What the heck? I mean, could we not at least say Matnita Ramita Alei the Rebbe? You're asking Rebbe from a Brisa. Rebbe is Vitana. I mean, he can obviously argue on a Brisa. Anyway. Halacha l'maisa, in terms of the Ninveh problem, my havila. So what's the bottom line? So Reb Nachman Omar, we daven in the normal tefillah, Pesach tefillah, which is Birkat Hashanim. Reb Sheshe says, no, we treat them as yechidim, and they say b'shomea tefillah. And now this is where the whole discussion comes up with that famous psak of the Rosh and the whole scandal that year in Germany. And that was Germany and France that he spoke about then. And Lamaisa the Rosh says, okay, what is this Gemara referring to? It's referring to a Shiloh that was sent from the people of Ninveh. But Ninveh is a small area. It's one city. Is not the implication that if the entire country or large area required that, then this wouldn't have even been a Shiloh? And they were just asking what they should do because they're not sure if they should see themselves as Yechidim or at Tzibur. So Adon Rabbah, this is Masha the way I'm saying, that Hakol Lefi Hashanim is certainly true if you're talking about a country, except if it's a single locale that happens to be in a very particular location and has particular needs, that's different, which I agree to. But if you're talking about an area, then that area, of course, if it's the whole Europe, I mean, so obviously we should be Mispalel as per the need. Why would we not do that in Birkat Hashanim? Now, this is part of the extensive discussion Lagabe South Africa, in which where you're living in an area where the seasons are inverted, or any place where you would have the rainy season would be Dafka from Pesach, and the dry season would be Dafka the opposite, which the time in which in Eretz Yisrael they're mispalel for rain. So then that was the, I mentioned to you that those modern poskim, that lechora for sure then you should invert it. I mean, because otherwise you're being mishaker b'tfila. I mean, what are you doing? You're saying, we said we're not asking for geshamim when we don't want geshamim. So are you going to be mishaker in the tefillah because we're going to say something that we don't mean? Send us rain. Please don't. Please don't. Send us rain. Please don't. Please don't. What kind of tefillah is that? How can you have that? So that, despite that, as I mentioned to you, Lemaisa, the minhag is in Joburg to actually pasken like Eretz Yisrael. And this was taken on all over and even in places like this. So this is a question. I mean, like, so how do we explain this, right? Because normally, is it not true that the Gemara said in Brochas, Mi sheyesh lo chole betoch beito? So he should say the tefillah for the chole in the birchas of refuah. Somebody who has a problem with his parnasa, he should say a tefillah for his parnasa in the brach of birchas hashanim. And then whatever you want to say, you could say in shomea tefillah, says the Gemara. Okay, but I mean, that means that the brachot essentially seem to be kavua for a general statement in which a yachid is able to express his particular need. So why, when it comes dafka to the rains, why would we be taking that and moving it into Shomea Tefillah and saying you cannot use the Birkas Hashanim for your own personal needs of rain? Because that's how it's turning out in Halacha, even though you could have argued the Rosh's argument on the Gemara, but Halacha Lamaisa, we don't paskin like that. I mean, there's all types of discussion. Like, why would that be true? And it, obviously, the issue revolves around the original kvias of the Lashon of the tefillah on the Geshamim, according, which included, as the Gemara said, that there were Nevi'im that were there. Remember, because that was the beginning of the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they were kvias those tefillahs, that they took into consideration in the kvias of the tefillah, they took into consideration the connection to Eretz Yisrael, and that therefore it became a kvias of the only bracha, which were koveya at different times during the year. So the point, therefore, is the other brachas did not need to include variations. It's the same bracha all year round. But once the variations themselves were defined by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, so then that means that the insertion, lefi the year, lefi the place, the one bracha where you can't do it is the variation bracha, because the variation itself was kavua. By the way, remember, which we're going to see soon in Megillah, remember that there were a lot of things, including the din of Kriya Samegillah that was kavua according to Yemos Yoshua ben Nun in order to remind people of the connection to Eretz Yisrael, that was part of what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were focused on as well. So therefore, it turns out very often that the halacha ends up, I mentioned this to you in the Zohar, that the Zohar talks this out, you know, that all these halachas, they end up getting to the right place just in a crazy way because they don't know what they're doing. They're only following the mechanics of the halacha. Precisely. But that's the point, that the mechanics of the halacha end up uncovering the underlying patterns that are involved. So when you really think about it, there are these many other issues that are involved in Birchas Hashanim that are absolutely unique to Birchas Hashanim. And therefore, when we're koveya that Birchas Hashanim includes its variations, al pi the original gears of the brachas, it's not as crazy as it sounds. And it does not violate the normal din of including your personal tefillahs in the brachas. That's a wonderful insight. Okay, now the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that on Mondays, so first let's just, we close all of the stores during these last, we don't want people running around at shopping plazas on a tainis. Here they're going to be during these tainis tzibor, everybody sitting in the rechov, praying to Hashem, and they're sitting in nostrums in order to be destroyed by the mob who takes out all this stuff. No. So we close the shopping plazas. But we open up the food stores. So the grocery stores are allowed to open towards the evening, but not completely open that everybody who walks by should see all this food crying out to be eaten, which is not exactly what they want to see on the tainis. So, okay, so they sort of open up the door a little bit to somebody who needs to buy something for this, so that night can sort of go in through the side. Fine. So they're matim im chashecha. But then it's not at all clear what it means when it says ubachamishi kolayon, because that's a very opaque language. It could say ubakamishi matim kolayom, or it could mean bakamishi, which is to open up normally kolayom. So it's not clear b'tikvot Shabbat. So how do we understand it? As the Gemara boilu heichikatoni, how to read this? That on Monday matinim b'chashecha, and on Thursday it's matim, but all day long b'tikvot Shabbat. Or maybe it means on Monday we only do matin, but chamishi we open up the doors normally, that people should be able to do their Shabbat shopping, and people are interested, even though it's a tainus, to be attracted on a Thursday to be able to go in and shop for Shabbos. Toshma, the Tanya. B'sheni matin ad ha'erev, u'b'chamishi potchim kol ha'yom kulo, v'pnei kvod ha'Shabbat. So here it says b'feirish that the way to read it is the matin is only referring to the Mondays, and the kol ha'yom kulo is referring to the Thursdays as a complete pticha. How about if a store has two doors? So then you can open up one and lock the other one. So you don't have to have all of your doors open. And hayalo itztaba k'neged pitcho. Suppose you have a display shelf in front of the doorway of the store, so people can't see into the store right away. So then, poter k'darko ve'eno choshesh. So then you can open normally, because since it doesn't open directly into the Rishus HaRabim, so over there, people are not going to be feeling, oh gosh, like, oh, look at all that yummy food, and we got to walk by it, and so on and so forth. That's not, that in that case would not be a problem. Okay, there's a machlok about what this is referring to, because the Rambam relates it back to this store with the two doors, whereas the other Rishonim just say it's talking about Bechlal, not the stores. Then the Mishnah said, if the last ones, the seven ones, the Chomer ones, weren't actually effective and the rain didn't start coming, so then everybody has to treat themselves as if they're menudim l'mokayim, and they're mematim b'masiv v'matan, u'b'vinyan u'b'nitiyah. It means, what does that mean, b'vinyan u'b'nitiyah? Does it mean like, what, you can't paint your house, you can't close in your porch, and you're not allowed to plant something in your garden? Is that what it means? Says the Braita, no, that's not what it means. It means the same thing that we learned Lagabe Tisha B'Av in that period. Bibinyan means mematin, bibinyan shel simcha. So somebody who's going to be building something that is nogea simcha, which the Gemara will shortly explain is nogea chasana for his children, that you have to be mamayit. And netia also is referring to a particular netia that brings simcha and is related to simcha. What are those things? Ezeu binyan shel simcha. This is someone who's going to be building a beit chatnut livno. The Beit Chatnut B'Pashas was a place for the wedding, but also there were others that were Mefarish, that the minhag was they would build a home for the children, and they would make the chasana in that home, and then the children would settle in the home. Or Ezu Netia Shel Simcha, this is somebody who's planting the Avarnakish HaMelachim. So the Avarnakish HaMelachim either, Rashi says, refers to the minhag, the beautiful minhag, that when a child was born to the royal family, they would plant a tree. And then when it came time for that child to be coronated as the new king, they would cut down that tree and they would make the throne out of that tree that was planted at his birth. It was very beautiful. So people were very moved by that and adopted it for their own personal practice. A child was born, so they would cut down the tree for the chasana and to make the chair for the chasana, So that would be a binyan shel simcha. The other approach is of Arnakish HaMelachim is a massive shade tree that is used for people of a great stature that they should be able to have a place to walk and it's all shaded and everything. So that even that would be considered to be someone who's on that madrega of riches and so on. That's considered to be, according to that Lashon, also Netiyah shel Simcha. As we saw back in Erevin, that we used that Lashon of Arnaki in the Soda Lagabi, the Dinim of Erevin. Okay, anyway, getting on. So then we said you're not allowed to be Shoel Sholem. So what happens if somebody says Shalom Aleichem to you during this period? And this is the same thing that we have in the Tisha B'Av period as well. So Tana Rabbana, Chaverim ein Sheilat Shalom Beneim. Obviously, people who know the Halacha and their Chaverim, they would never ask each other, they would never say Shalom Aleichem. But what happens if an Am Haaretz comes over to him. He doesn't realize the look. He doesn't have the sensitivity of not saying shalom. And he comes and he says shalom aleichem. I mean, you can't, when you slap him across the face and not say shalom aleichem back, you can't do that. So, machazirin lehem, you answer them, aleichem shalom, but you answer it in a very serious tone, b'safarafa, uvchoved rosh, you speak on aleichem shalom, aleichem shalom, so that he gets the idea that it is not really a time of true shalom, and that this person is indulging me. That way, you're also communicating, you're being nice to him, but you're also communicating to him what is correct. And they are mitatfim, v'yoshvim, kavelim, v'knudim, and kibnei adam, anezufim l'makom, ad shirachamu aleihem min hashamayim. So when we say that people should act as if they're avelim and so on, so, I mean, like, how far does this go? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, look, it depends on the chashivas of the person. If somebody is very chashiv, in adam chashov, reshai lipol al panav, a person who has chashivas, he's going to make a big show of being neifel al panav, and he's going to bow down straight on his stomach. We're talking about real ishtachavoya over here. And then he's going to be davening for the geshamim, and then what? And then nothing happens. I mean, after this guy puts on this big show. I mean, either people are going to say, yeah, this guy's pretending to be a tzaddik, God couldn't care less. Or they're going to say God couldn't care less, which is Hashem anyway. So, I mean, for sure he shouldn't be doing this, and he should not put himself into a position of being a fool. So you cannot do that. Unless you know that you're on a madrega, and kena anek Yoshua ben Nun, you know that you're going to be answered. Shenemar vayomer Hashem Yoshua, kumlach, lamazat anofela panecha, we're over there. Yoshua was sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so mechabed, Yoshua, I'm taking care of it, I'm taking care of it. Get up, get up. I don't need you to fall down in public and you're prostrating yourself. V'yomer Rebbe Elazar. The same thing is true when we said that they're mu'utafim and they sit around like avelim. So you think you can also put on sackcloth. And again, this is very dramatic stuff, right? So there's a problem of over-drama. So when people dramatize things to such an extent, they can cause a chilul Hashem besides making themselves look like total idiots. So a person should not over-dramatize. I mean, he's an adam chashuv. So he's going to show, I'm putting on sackcloth and everybody should put on sackcloth in mourning. No. I mean, unless you know that for sure you're going to be answered the same way Yehoram ben Achav. Now, Yehoram ben Achav was a rosh. He was not a tzaddik. But when he heard that horrible story of the woman who comes to complain that my neighbor, she ate my kid with me, but now it was time for her to shecht her kid, and she hit him. He went crazy from this story, and he went out, and he publicly put on sackcloth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him with that amazing mace, that the price is going to completely fall, and there was an amazing mace, and all of a sudden they got all of the food that came from their enemies. Okay, so if a person knows that that's going to be the response, I understand. That's pretty dramatic. So you can do drama to get drama. But if you're not sure, then you're going to make a fool of yourself. And chas v'shalom, you're causing chilul Hashem. V'yomer Rebbe Elazar, ein adam chashuv v'shalom la'kor sakal, em kanene shenemar v'yikishmo et melech edivrei ha'isha, v'yikrat b'gadav, v'hu over ala choma, v'yara am v'nei saka b'soros. He was extremely dramatic. And it's not clear what that means unless you know. Because, I mean, what does that mean unless you know? I mean, he himself had been rushed the whole time when he was so sure that he was going to be answered. So, in other words, the fact was that the drama was justified. The horror of the actual events called for a really dramatic response, and what he felt was that he was responding in a way that had shattered him, and he wanted to share that shattering. So the parshtus is that if you're in that kind of situation, chas v'chalila, and there's the wholeheartedness in which you don't sense that any drama is involved at all, and that there's no personal show at all, and that you're doing something because you indeed have been shaken to the core, and the expression of that shaking and that being able to get other people to feel that way will actually cause a shinui, that's sufficient, because otherwise, I mean, what does it think? Yoram ben Achav. When is Yoram ben Achav at tzaddik? The Yomar Rebbe Elazar pointed out another thing. There is no standardization when it comes to the way in which a person is supposed to act in being mevakesh in these terrible situations. Because we find that sometimes there was kriya, and sometimes there was ishtachavoya, and different people had different responses in time of distress. So lo hakol b'kriya, v'lo hakol b'nifila. Look, Moshe and Aaron, it says, beferish in the pasuk, that there were naflu al pneihem. Yoshua b'kolev kor'u et bigdeihem. Why did they do different things? Because they sensed, Moshe v'Aaron, it says, v'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem by the Meraglim. And Yoshua and Kolev, it says, Yoshua ben Nun v'kolev b'nifne kor'u bigdeihem. And they didn't say, well, I mean, if Moshe and Aaron are falling down on their faces, that's the only thing we should do also. Ma'akiv lo Rebbe Zeir v'yitemer b'pshmul bar Nachmini. Now, hold on a minute. It doesn't say Yehoshua v'kolev. It says v'Yehoshua. Now, if it had said Yehoshua, I would have agreed with you. Lo hakol b'shtachavoya. But now that it says v'Yehoshua, it means Yehoshua did not only do the shtachavoya. Of course he did shtachavoya. Moshe was b'shtachavoya. He also was Korea. Which is not what you're saying, that these are completely separate hanhagas and that they understood in themselves that they're meant to respond in different ways. Another thing that Rebbe Elazar said that has the same issue, the Amar Rebbe Elazar, lo hakol b'kima, not all of the malachim when Mashiach comes are just going to stand up, v'lo hakol b'shtachavaya, and not all of the malachim, or not all of the chashuvim are going to be bowing down. So the kings that are mamish and din melech, they will be kima. But Sarim, they will be mishtachave, because it says, Ko amar Hashem goel Yisrael kidei shai livzon nefesh. To these poor people of Yisrael who have been so buzzy in the world, limitaiv goy, the people that are despised by all of the nations in the world, le'eved moshlim, people ruled by avodim. You know what it's going to be like in those days? Malachim yiru v'kamod. The kings of the world will see when the Shekhinah is returned to you, and they will get up as you walk by. The Sarim will bow down on their heads. Dechtiv Sarim vayishtachavu. And here too, Rabbi Zeir Avitain, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini said, now wait a minute. If it would have said Sarim vayishtachavu is probably the right Girsa, so then I would have agreed with you. But it's Sarim yishtachavu, but it says Sarim vayishtachavu. Sarim v'yishtachva means they did both. So, of course, first they jump up out of kavod, and then they bow down on their faces. Om Reb Nachman Yitzchak, I can add. I can say that in Olam Haba, lo hakol la'ora, v'lo hakol la'simcha. Not everyone is zeicha to the oira of the aragonos. Not everyone is in the getter of simcha. Tzadikim, we know, is la'ora. Yisharim is l'simcha. Tzadikim la'ora, dechtiv or zarua la'tzadik. And then it adds, l'yishrei leiv simcha. So l'yisharim, it's simcha. Dechtiv l'yishrei leiv simcha. And as Tosis points out, in this case, we don't have the kasha that we had before of Rabbi Zeira, because over here you have, in the two of them are put together. You have the or zera l'tzadik v'l'yisharim. So you can't say that it's both. Over here, you have to say that if you're going to say both, then you're saying they're both the same. So then what's the point of putting it separately? Here, you have to say that it's coming to be exclusive, different anagas for one or to the other. And we have our own, of course, wonderful, maybe he's both a tzaddik and a yosher, our own kapitan. May he be zorche both to Ora v'simcha and to Hadron Alach, may Ematai.